everybody. This is Jay Valentine with the Valentine Cast. It's been a while. I'm not here with Renee today, so it's going to be a little different. It's been a while since we've done a show. When we took a break, we were talking about Renee's mom, my mother-in-law, Cynthia Crocker, battled with cancer. And just wanted to kind of give an update for those that may not know us on Facebook or may not follow there, or life just gets busy sometimes, and you just kind of don't keep up with folks. I mean, I'm guilty of that. Everyone's guilty of that. But just wanted to give everyone an update that on 2 weeks ago, today is September 27th, 2017, but on September 13th, 2017, mom passed away. She lost her long battle with cancer, and she's been missed very dearly, and just hasn't been the same since she's been gone. So I just wanted to just kind of do a dedication to her, and just want to just thank everyone for being there for us, and I thought I was okay to do this. So if you just bear with me, there are a couple of things that I do want to share with you all, because this lady's so great. She was well loved in the community, and it showed a lot, you know, at her celebration. So this past weekend, we did have the funeral, and she was laid to rest, and it was a moving funeral. You know, just so much outpouring and support from people that have surrounded us and everything. And but just wanted to take a little time, and just for those that couldn't be there that may want to hear the obituary that she wrote with the help of her dear friend, Miss Joyce. That was the thing with mom. She was always, you'll hear it, you know. I would just have to read this just so you know the type of powerful woman that she was to us all. So what I'm going to do, I'm gonna turn off these devices so I won't be bothered. I'm going to read the obituary first, and then there's a dedication that someone wrote that is amazing that I think should be shared. So on to the obituary. Ah, damn it. Oh, people love to message me, man. Let me turn this off. I'm trying to get in good old J fashion. I don't turn everything off, but there we go. All right. And the reason I wanted to do this too is that mom listened to the show. You know, that was the beautiful thing with mom, is that she didn't know much about podcasting at first, but she always took interest in what her kids and their spouses or their friends were doing. And she was always there to support. So anyway, I will read a dedication here in a bit. Just give me about 10 seconds if you would. All right. So Cynthia Sarah Huntley Crocker was born on October 4th, 1948, to Charles C. and Mary E. Huntley in Sherrall, South Carolina. She attended elementary, junior, and high school in Sherrall. After graduating from high school, she enrolled in Bennett College in Greensboro, North Carolina, where she majored in elementary education. During her junior year at Bennett, Cynthia met and fell in love with the love of her life, Arnold H. Crocker. She moved to Newark, New Jersey, where she taught for 2 years. Cynthia received degrees and certifications from Bennett College, Union College, and the University of Louisville. On July 29, 1972, Cynthia and Arnold were married and relocated to Louisville, Kentucky. To this union, 4 children were born. The passion for her family was evident to all she encountered. Cynthia was employed by Jefferson County Public Schools for 32 years. She worked at Johnston Elementary, Western, and No Middle School. Cynthia achieved many accomplishments, such as the Prestige Millikan Educator Award in 1999. This award celebrated and empowered outstanding educators. She was also named Middle School Teacher of the Year in 2000. Cynthia and Arnold became members of New Zion Baptist Church in 1977. Cynthia was a dedicated servant of the Lord. She served as Harambe Usher Board President, Treasurer and Secretary, Sunday School Teacher, Reach Member, Dare to Care Food Bank Volunteer, Big Sisters Program, Assisted in the opening of New Zion's Library, Coordinator for Veterans Recognition, Samaritan's Purse, a non-denominational evangelical Christian organization to help the needy overseas, and headed many other church projects. Cynthia's civic activities included working for the Girl Scouts, Everyone Reads, Bridging the Gap Summer School Camp, ESL, which is English as a Second Language, tutoring, volunteering at Kentucky Center, and author and Actors Theater. Cynthia's hobbies included gardening, reading, dancing, exercising, and traveling. She leaves to cherish her memories of devoted husband Arnold H. Crocker and children Dr. Deidre Moore, who's married to Christopher, Renee Valentine, who's married to Jerry, Danielle Gray, married to Demetrius, and Kimberly Crocker, and 3 grandchildren, Maya, Zoe, and August. 1 sister, Diane Thompson, 4 brothers, Joe Wall, Charlie Huntley Jr., Bobby Ray Huntley, James Bennett, and a host of other relatives and friends. Cynthia was preceded in death by her mother, Mary Robinson Huntley, her father, Charles Huntley Sr., and her sister, Chaney Toms. Cynthia's journey was long and sometimes difficult, but she never faltered in her faith. She always knew her strength came from the God she loved and served. And there was a beautiful dedication that a friend of the family, a great friend of mom's, her name is Sherry Williams. She sent dad an email, you know, after the passing, after she died. And I am going to read that because it was so beautifully written, and I think this is something that someone nailed down the person that mom was. So I am going to read it, and I will say a lot of this is probably more for me and in my grieving process. So I want to apologize to anyone that may be like, oh, this is not what I expected. So I apologize. So anyway, on to the email. Hello, Arnold. Sometimes I am better at writing than talking about some things. I just wanted to share what was on my heart this weekend as I thought about Cynthia and what her friendship meant to me and what you and the girls mean to me. I hope and pray that you all are feeling God's love and comfort during this time. If you would like to, please feel free to share this with Deidre, Renee, Kimberly, and Danielle. I really would like to share with them too about Cynthia's wonderful friendship. Be blessed, Sherry. It's titled, One Day with My Friend Cynthia. It says, one day in May, over 35 years ago, my family and I moved to a neighborhood in Louisville, Kentucky. It was Derby weekend. My new neighbor, Cynthia Crocker, invited us to a cookout. It was my first and best Derby cookout ever. I was a young, stay-at-home mother and was somewhat lonely and insecure. Cynthia and her husband, Arnold, were warm, kind, and generous towards my husband, Larry, our children, and me, and I was blessed and strengthened immediately. Cynthia and I began to spend lots of time together. Her two daughters, Deidre and Renee, and my two daughters, Bethany and Janessa, played together. We began to share and talk more and more about being mothers and wives and every aspect of life. We canned vegetables and made counted cross-stitch Christmas ornaments together and took up jogging. We evolved into runners and ran our first 5K race together. I don't remember the name of the park, but I remember us running the race course together over the park's scenic but treacherous hills and celebrating like crazy after we crossed the finish line. Cynthia kept extending invitations. She took me and my girls to the public library in her neighborhood. She took me to her Bronco group and introduced me to other neighbors. I could drop in on Cynthia and Arnold most anytime. They always welcomed me. Their home became my second home. Their marriage and their family life became my model and my inspiration. Cynthia was a middle school teacher, and she had a marvelous nurturing instinct, wisdom, and practical sense about navigating through everyday life. She was intelligent and intuitive and a planner, organizer, and to-do list maker. Sometimes her intuition was almost scary in that it was difficult to keep secrets from her or pulling anything over on her. Surprising her, even with good surprises, was extremely difficult. Cynthia was an astute financial manager, too. One of the most balanced and even-tempered people I'd ever met. Cynthia could be solemn in discussing matters that were close to her heart or her finances, but she was also unassuming, funny, and witty, and she knew how to take life with a dose of humor. She'll often tell an anecdote about her job or family with a completely straight face, and then punctuate the ending with a sly smile and a twinkling eye, watching how I react to the story. She made me belly laugh a lot. We grew closer to each other, and then one day I woke up and realized that Cynthia was my true friend. The years passed, and Cynthia and I both experienced our respective ups and downs that women typically experience. Our lives were separated by, but were also stitched together, like the stitches on our counted cross-stitch ornaments. Except that the thread of our friendship was love. One day I woke up and realized that Cynthia accepted me unconditionally just as I was. She listened to me even when I rambled on about not knowing quite how to handle this or that difficult situation, including those that came with raising teenage girls and with marriage. We shared raw emotions and transparency during those times. Often she had already been through the same phase with her teenage girls and in her marriage, and she advised and encouraged me, never judging, only loving. She shared her troubles with me too and asked for my advice. And then one day I woke up and realized that Cynthia would be my friend for life, that we could count on each other's support. Cynthia called me one day and shared news that I never expected in a million years. She was pregnant with twins. What a joyous time it was to see precious, identical twin baby girls, Kimberly and Danielle, join the family that I had come to love so dearly. Our friendship blossomed through loss of loved ones and friends, graduations, hospitalizations, weddings, and eventually her retirement. Even after I moved far away to Tennessee and then to Georgia, our friendship continued on and became richer and fuller and deeper. Over the distance, we continued to share our doubts and fears, our hopes and dreams, and our faith and prayers. After retirement, Cynthia and Arnold traveled frequently. Cynthia belonged to a prayer line and a book club. She enjoyed life and gave generously of her time and resources to help others. She came to Georgia to care for me when I had a procedure. She instinctively knew exactly what to do the entire time she was with us. She cooked and cleaned and watched over me and my family. Her care was phenomenal. The words don't exist to explain how comforted I was by her presence and care. I cried like a baby after she left to go back home. Cynthia grew into a faith giant and offered prayer for me at the close of many phone chats. She was there to support me in my every endeavor. She believed in me. And then one day I woke up and realized that Cynthia was God's gift of a rare and enduring friendship. Our friendship was just not for life. Just for life. It was divinely appointed. And then, one day I woke up on a December morning in 2015. It was after Christmas and something was off kilter. I realized that Cynthia and I hadn't been in touch over the holidays. At some point during that particular day, Cynthia called to tell me she had breast cancer. My heart and soul caved in. Not Cynthia, not this jewel of a woman who loved with all her heart and soul. Not this kind person who had befriended me for more than 30 years through thick and thin. Not my dear friend. I ached for her and what she faced, knowing that I could not and would not be able to fully understand how she felt then or how she would feel in the weeks and months ahead. She fought hard and we were hopeful that she had won, but the cancer came back over a year later. I was able to visit Cynthia within months of the cancer's return. We picked right up with sharing from our hearts on matters of life, and this was my time to listen and focus completely and totally on her, just as she done for me for so many years of our friendship. Hugging was a part of our friendship. We always hugged each other in our comings and goings over the years. So when I sat next to her during this visit, she cuddled up next to me, rested her head on my shoulders, and fell asleep. I held her, knowing that this new closeness signaled that our friendship was transforming, and its essence would soon be shaped by matters of death. A day or two later, it was time for me to leave. We said our goodbyes. In the weeks following, Cynthia began to decline, and I had to face the fact that likely I would not see her again on this side of life. For well over a year and a half, Cynthia Huntley Crocker fought the formidable foe of cancer with the valor of a warrior. And then one day, several weeks ago, I woke up, and at some point in the day, Arnold called to share that Cynthia had decided it was time to retreat and rest. In the twilight of the very next morning, I dreamed of Cynthia. She was right there with me, sitting on the bed, a younger version of her. She wore a gorgeous sundress and a pretty sweater draped over her shoulders. Her hair was dark, shiny, and wavy, neatly parted to the side and pulled back into a slick bun. sleek bun. Her makeup was perfect. Her aura was fresh and bright, and her demeanor was calm. I knew she was about to take a trip, and I asked if she was excited. I didn't say it, but we both were aware of her destination. Quietly, she said, "I love you." That was it, and I woke up. The cancers took its course subsequently. I wish Renee was here so I could say that word right. But one day, Cynthia felt well enough to make phone calls, and she called me. In the midst of her pain, and her voice strong and clear, she told me over and over that she loved me. She said, "Love is all there is." About a month later, I woke up one day to the sound of the wind whistling and the sight of the rain pouring from the tropical storm Irma. Cynthia's eldest daughter, Deidre, called to let me talk to her mom in hopes that it would offer some comfort. All I could think to say to Cynthia was, "I love you." She told me the same in her own way, but her words were incoherent. My heart broke. I understood that the pounding wind and the rain of the storm that raged within her failing body shrouded her words. 2 days later, I woke up and started my day. It was still early, and the phone rang. I looked at the caller ID. It was Arnold. I knew before I answered that just like Irma had passed, and the sun shined on my day, that Cynthia's storm had ended, and she was basking in the peaceful light of God, of God's wondrous love. Since then, I felt grief that is overwhelming at times. I cry off and on, just like I did when she left after caring for me during my convalescence. I need Renee here. I weep when I remember that Cynthia has moved away to a place where I cannot visit. The reality hits that I cannot pick up the phone anymore and call to hear her voice. But then I'm comforted by the precious memories of Cynthia. I remember that her legacy of loving and caring and giving is here with us, and that it shines. In the here and now, her legacy is embodied in her husband, and children and grandchildren, and is blazing on the hearts of all who she uniquely touched with her "Love is all there is" kind of love. I am comforted because one day it will be my turn to fall asleep in Jesus like Cynthia has done, and then I will wake up in a new neighborhood and be delighted to see her again. She will once again extend an invitation to me, but this time it would be to join with her in that peaceful light. One day with my friend Cynthia, I will experience the presence of our God, who lovingly and carefully counted and cross-stitched the threads of our friendship and our lives. Oh, she did a great job capturing what mom has done. And the hard part for me is, and I'm done reading the letter, don't get confused, this is Jay talking now, is Reverend Augward said it during the eulogy, is that, you know, his greatest empathy or sympathy is not to the children, but it's to the grandchildren, Maya and Zoe and August. And that is the one thing that has hit me the hardest with this, is that, you know, I just, the love that she had for the girls, the way she just brightened the room, you know, and just loved them so. And just saying, Maya girl, Zoe girl, West Grandpa's girls. It was just something that, you know, I looked forward to. I look forward to Maya and Zoe, you know, getting upset with Renee and I, them packing their little bags and saying, we're going to run away. And then they walk around the corner to, they run away to Grandma's. And I can see Grandma taking them in, sitting them at the table, feeding them, you know, letting them talk it out. Then just, I can just hear her just kind of saying, all right, girls, that's your mom and dad, you know, and just being there for them in that, you know. You know, with, I've never been in a situation where, aside from, yeah, I was thinking about it this morning, was that in my first marriage, my father-in-law, well, would have been my father-in-law, but my ex-wife's father, you know, he had congestive heart failure, and it hit hard and it hit fast, and, you know, I remember helping take care of him, helping him shave and bathe. He didn't want Andre Day to do it because he was too embarrassed to have Andre Day look at him, I guess, when he was unclothed. And he would have me come in and I would wash him and I would shave him. And when he passed on, I mean, it was just like with my older kids, you know, I was looking forward to them getting to know, you know, Mr. Clarence, because he was a good man. And so it's like, I don't know, she's going to be missed, you know. And so there was a book that was given to everyone, well, yeah, to everyone, you know, healing after loss. And it's like a daily thing, you know. And I was reading yesterday's. It talks about the whole system of our lives is distributed by the loss, is disturbed by loss. We have to learn new patterns as a flooded river, when it retreats, leaves behind a new configuration of tributaries. It would take us a while to get used to all this. At times we may forget and begin to respond the way we did. How many tickets for the play? How many places at the table? How many fresh towels for the bathroom? Small matters, but quickening reminders. The more profound shifts of who we are in the world will last a lot longer. If we have lost a parent, we have lost part of our buffer against being the older generation, with all that implies. If we have lost a child, a whole future together is wiped away. If a sibling, one of the sharers of our earlier years, is gone, though it may be heavy going for a while, we will realign our patterns of thought and expectations so we can be grateful for the life and the memories that we have. Though the waters of change swirl around me, still I am safe. So, with all that being said, I want to say a thank you to everyone that reached out to Renee and I and our whole family that supported us. Bit understanding. I'm pretty sure Valentine Cast will be back. I'm not sure when, but we will. But I do want to say thank you to everyone, and be excellent to everyone, and also know that love is all there is. We love you, Mom.